This is a Pinball News production.
Thank you. Okay, I'm here to talk about the upcoming issue of Pinball Magazine. First of all, for those of you who are here in anticipation of the reveal or update on Chicago Gaming, that was cancelled. So, not my fault, I was asked to fill in this slot, so I happily did. I will be talking about the upcoming issue of Pinball Magazine number 4, of which you see the cover over there. I will also be talking about what else I have been working on in regards to Pinball Magazine, as I have not been only working on this issue. And if you have any questions, just raise your hand and I'll see if I can address it right away. I will not be the only one doing this seminar. They gave me the entire hour, but I split it up with Nicolas and Timothy from Pinsound from France, who have a booth in the vendor hall. They will be taking over around 1:30, something like that. So the second half of the hour, they will talk about their Pinsound board. So that you know that I won't be boring you for an entire hour. So I did put out these promotional brochures with two different covers, if you have seen them. The tarot cover, the dog cover, is a sort of April Fool's joke from earlier this year, and we decided to continue that. So, Pinball Magazine number 4. We have a cover story on Mark Ritchie, who is known as the designer of Indiana Jones and Fishtails, Diner, and a couple of other games. Very interesting man to talk to, and I'm very happy that he was willing to talk to me. And as always with Pinball Magazine, we're going to be covering his entire career in pinball. What I have on my laptop here is actually a PDF file of how far I got so far. So you're going to be looking at pages of the actual magazine, the way they are laid out right now, if we don't lose power. So that was the cover. We got a couple of ads. My editorial is already in there. There's a few blank pages that will be taken out. Don't worry about that. You know, so the reason that I didn't go to print yet is because I have the Who's Working on What feature, and I wanted to include the news of Pinball Expo with all the reveals and so on. So I did this layout, and I had a picture actually already of dialed in, but I couldn't send it to anybody or show it or whatever. So, but that's common knowledge now. There will be actually new photos of the game, and because as you can see, I didn't finish it, so I will be updating that. And then here we get to the Mark Ritchie special, which is pretty much done. And as always, I'm using, if possible, page-wide images of back glasses and playfields as well. So this was Mark's first game, Thunderball, and we were talking about that. We got some drawings, patent applications, and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to stop with every game. It's just to give you an impression of what the pages in the magazine will look like. Basically, we're covering his entire career up until after Capcom. This is something I'd like to address. I have this feature called Others About, in this case, Mark Ritchie. Mark is, of course, the brother of Steve Ritchie. Steve is one of the people who contributed to the magazine. This is his page. But I have some very interesting contributions that I really like to mention and point out. Because I don't give that often interviews, if any at all. Two people who actually have great stories to tell about Mark are Eugene Jarvis and George Petro, who are both in the magazine and both with quite substantial content. I think Eugene Jarvis is a 4-page article, and George Petro is actually 7 pages, and they really came up with very interesting details from when they were working at Williams. And I highly recommend, if you like the magazine, read that stuff as well, because it really fills in some blanks that Mark didn't discuss or address. So. We also got Roger Sharp and Chris Grenner, Steve Ritchie, like you see here, and a couple of other people. So just to make it more all-round and accessible and get multiple angles and views, you know. So I'm going to skip through this real quick. As you can see, I got up to Indiana Jones and Kingpin. And then we get to a different section in the magazine. There's sort of a focus on Texas this time. I've attended the Texas Pinball Festival, but there's also an article on the Dallas Makerspace. Jeff Frick, who is actually here at Expo, is interviewed regarding pre-war games. And there's an article on the Lone Star Pinball Museum, which is in Hockley near Houston. Other articles include an interview with Jay, actually present here, manager of the Internet Pinball Database, which is a website that I feel is quite essential, at least in the making of a magazine like this. There's an article on Pinball Universe from Germany, who are really raising the bar when it comes to selling pinball to collectors and bringing people back into the hobby. There's a 17-page article on Dutch pinballs making of the Big Lebowski. And also an interview with Jean-Paul Le Win, who did the artwork for The Hobbit, the LCD screens, and the playfield art as well. And also Big Lebowski, that's his baby as well. And actually quite a few more extra articles, so without going into too much detail on Pinball Magazine number 4, I'm currently up to 224 pages and still counting, so it's going to be another phone book, as some people say. So I hope it will be worthwhile to read it all. Like I said, there's an intentional delay. I did plan to have issues here, but with all the news coming out this week, I figured if I would have issues, the magazine would be outdated by day one, which is not something you really like, at least I don't. So I'm going to print later and have the latest news in there. At least I don't expect to be more games to be revealed within the next few weeks, other than maybe the one that was supposed to be revealed right now at this hour. And the second reason to wait with this issue is, since this is I have this story on Mark Ritchie, there's actually a lot of colleagues that used to work with Mark Ritchie, so I was actually hoping to run into people that might actually still contribute to the magazine, and I can still include them. So, as for pricing, that always depends on the page count, but as we are nearing the page count of issue 3, I think pricing of issue 4 will be similar to issue 3, so if that wasn't a problem in the past, I hope it won't be this time either. I expect to be shipping out magazines the last week of November, and the reason it is taking that long is partly because I will be attending the Pacific Pinball Expo in November in California, and I'm actually staying in California for 2 weeks, so it's very difficult for me to ship out magazines if they are delivered on my doorstep in Europe while I'm in California. So as soon as I get back, I start shipping out the magazines. My printer will arrange that they arrive the day after I get back, so I start shipping out as soon as possible once I get back from California. I can also talk to you about Pinball Magazine number 5, which is actually already in the works. I mentioned I'm going to California, and there's a reason for that. The Pacific Pinball Expo, which is coming up in November, I think the second weekend of November, they will have every game of former pinball designer Wayne Nyans, and Wayne Nyans will be the cover story in Pinball Magazine number 5. Wayne is currently 98 years old, not really willing to travel to California, but I'm still trying to get him there. because I hope to get more stories if he sees his own games in person instead of looking at a picture. But the interview that I did with him is already done, and most of that is already transcribed, so I actually hope that Pinball Magazine number 5 will be out already in the spring instead of in the fall of 2018. But I will be going to that show to take pictures of those games. Wayne designed over 180 games, so I'm not sure whether I will include every game, because basically based on that I will have at least 180 pages just by pictures alone, because I do want to put them in there as full pages, as I always do. But there will be, which is quite different than previous issue, quite a lot of electromechanical content in that issue. But since Wayne has such a great career in pinball, I felt, while he's still here, let's focus an issue entirely on him. And I'm still looking for additional content to sort of fit in, should sort of fit in with the Gottlieb or Wayne kind of thing. But usually ideas come along as I'm working on these, so I'm quite sure that will turn out okay. I also worked on a special issue. Well, actually, I think half an hour ago, Stern sent out a press release for their 30th anniversary book that is currently being funded through Kickstarter. That was actually my idea. I approached them about that for like 2 years ago. Actually, I wouldn't do it as a Kickstarter. I would just do it as an issue of Pinball Magazine. And I have actually, for a large part of this year, been working on such an issue, taking pictures of all the games, translites, artwork, images, and so on. Problem was, most of the artwork from the Data East and Sega stuff, well, it's no longer at Stern. They don't know where it is. They have boxes with CDs, but no one cares to even look at that stuff if they can still open it on their computers or whatever. And well, we all know they are very busy and they have other priorities. So that was one difficulty to come over. I also wanted to do interviews, and people at CERN were willing to talk to me, but everything had to be approved by CERN as well. And as we all know, the road that CERN Pinball has traveled over the past 30 years is a bit of an up and down, and I was not really waiting for someone in marketing to take out all the negative stuff, which actually happened, and we can't change the past, but it was pretty clear from the start that that had to be... Well, I didn't want to make a hooray, hooray, Stern issue. I just wanted to report the facts, and if the fact is that the company closed down a couple of times, I want to report on that as well and talk about that to people. And I got the feeling that they were not allowed to talk about those kind of topics, so in the end I decided I'm not going to do it. So someone else is now doing that book, and that's great. I wish them all the best, you know. I might still do an issue on Stern Pinball and Data East and Sega and all that kind of stuff, because I got the photos. But I want to do it the way Pinball Magazine would do it, and not the way Stern would like me to do it for them. So I have been working on that, but I'm not doing that issue like I just described. And then there's another issue I have been working on in the past, which is the Python issue. I talked to Python, Angelo. I spent 2 weeks with Python the year before he died, and we had lots of conversations. I recorded over 50 hours of conversations, and actually all of that is already transcribed. I got it right here. This is just a text-only 180-page book, if you want, with all my conversation with Python. Half of that is already edited, and the other half I still have to go through. And the reason I didn't go through with it is, especially the second half is very, very negative. It talks about Python working at Capcom, not in his element, not happy with the situation there. And if you know who Python was, he would blame everybody, and trust me, he was very vocal in blaming whoever he could for Capcom failing, and lots of people are called by their names with names that I probably shouldn't repeat in the magazine either. So it's become quite difficult for me actually to put myself to work on it, because if as soon as I start reading 10 minutes of that stuff, I'm like, forget it. And I'm actually afraid what would happen if I would publish it, because for some people, Python is on a pedestal. They love his creative work and his ideas, which absolutely true. The man had a genius creative mind, but he was also a pain in the ass to work with. And at some point, the pain in the ass part took over for me, and as creative as he was, he had his flaws as well. And my girlfriend says I'm actually trying to find up any excuse not to continue working on that issue. I do plan to publish it at some point, but I'm not in a hurry. And the second reason to wait with it, I don't want to offend people that are still working in the industry, and Python is known to create his own versions of stories and interpret them as the truth. So he's a firm believer that whatever he had in his mind was correct, and as a journalist I'm checking my facts, and then I hear the other side, and it turns out that Python quite often had an idea in his head that was not completely true, if not completely made up. So like I said, for a lot of people who think Python is a great designer, which to a point he was, he might actually fall from a pedestal, and I might actually ruin his legacy if I publish what he told me. So I'm very careful not to do that. So, but it's going to take time and persistence from my side to start working on it. And it's difficult, you know. Like I said, if you start reading 10 minutes into it, especially the second half, it's so negative and so depressing that I'm like, don't need that shit. So, pardon my French, but that's sort of how I feel, and I have to put myself to it. That being said, there's a couple of other reasons as an editor, or motivations as an editor, you have to keep in mind. I do plan to do an issue on John Norris, another Gothic designer who is actually quite bitter. I would not do two issues in a row of bitter men. So Python and then John Norris, or the other way around, that would not work. I also don't want to do two Gottlieb issues in a row, so it's not going to be Wayne Nyans and then John Norris either. So it might be Wayne Nyans and then Python if I get myself to work on it. It might also be Wayne Nyans and then I go, I don't know, some Williams design or someone else. But we'll have to see that. Let's first finish issue 4 and then the Wayne Nyans issue. And that's basically all that I had on my list to sort of discuss. Are there any questions at this point? Pick a number if you want. Not all at the same time.
How many issues ahead do you plan? Like 2? Or do you plan on doing this the rest of your life?
Well, I tend to live... the rest of my life is a long time, I hope. I have no intention of quitting. You know, I have intention of quitting on the Python issue, but that's something else. No, I love doing the magazine. The ironic, or the funny thing is that issue 3 was an issue that I didn't plan. That's the one with the what everybody calls the kiss issue, which is actually the belly issue. And Kiss happens to be on the cover, and there is indeed quite a bit of Kiss-related content in there, but I think basically the best articles in there are on the belly heydays, the interviews with Jim Patla, Kevin O'Connor, and Tom Neiman. But that's sort of like, when Stern announced Kiss, I was like, oh, well, there's 2 Kiss games and a prototype, and I figured that could be a nice article. And with Kiss being the group that they are and the following that they have, I figured, well, it could also economically work out well if you have 12 million people in the Kiss army. If they all start buying the magazine, that could be interesting. I'm not going to deny that. didn't aim for that. And as loyal as KISS fans are, they weren't that loyal in ordering, I can tell you that. So I think if I sold 50 copies to KISS fans, that's probably a lot. So, but that's their loss, I would say. Anyway, so that issue sort of came along. I was working on the Wayne Ions issue, and then I decided Mark Ritchie and I go back to like 2012 when we first met, and that's what's right after I published the first issue of Pinball Magazine, which was on Roger Sharp. Mark had written a contribution for that issue as well, and we met at the UK Pinball Party that year. And I sort of asked Mark, well, can we do an issue on you? And he agreed. So for the next 3 years, every time I would run into Mark at a show, he would ask, when it's my turn? Because in the meantime, I did Dennis Nordman, then I did the KISS issue, and he was like, thought I was supposed to go. So I felt I couldn't let Mark wait any longer, so that's why I decided, okay, Wayne, we're going to take pictures in November. I have time to do Mark sort of in between, and that's what I did. And I tried to make it, to have it ready for this show. Well, I'm at 90%, I would say. So it's not like Mark was an afterthought, but with Wayne being 98, you kind of want to finish it before he's no longer amongst us. So that was the priority that I had. So, and since Wayne is doing relatively okay, I figured, okay, let's do Mark, because I have to wait for the photos for Wayne. I mean, it's hard to do a magazine if you don't have photos of the games that you're talking about. And now I have an opportunity to take pictures of all the games. So that's my reasoning to skip Wayne ahead, put him ahead a few months, and then do Mark in between. So did that answer your question?
Yes. You need a new name, though. Instead of magazine, you need, like, MagBook, or it's more than a magazine and it's not quite a book.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Actually, we thought about changing the first A into an E, Pinball Magazine. But it didn't look good for some reason. So, but I like the tagline that we have currently. It's more like a book. And I think that that pretty much covers it, you know. So, and, well, when people see, this is the printed preview I did of issue 4. People say this is like a phone book of a small town. But I hope it reads more pleasantly. So, phone book is also in a book, but, you know, okay. So, any other questions? Because if not, I will turn the mic over to Nicolas and Timothy from Pinsan. I guess, guys, this is your cue. Okay, thank you for being here, for your attention, and I hope to keep on making Pinball Magazine, and I hope you will appreciate me doing it. Thank you.